Weather. I know I'm an evangelist and I'm supposed to be in Florida, but I'm glad that God directed my life to be up in the frozen tundra of life. And glad to be. There is a little bitterness flying throughout the crowd. Some church folks, as well as some, elementary chapel folks, are kind of upset because the kids got all the songs and you guys didn't. So I'm not going to disappoint you this morning. I'm going to give you a song or two. And this is one I did for the kids starting out to begin with. And this is good for your children or your grandchildren. Now, if you don't want to do this, I won't reprove, rebuke, and exhort you. I'll just think less of you. Okay? So I just want you to know that. I understand it's church, but it's Sunday school. We can get away with this. So take your thumbs like this. We're not going back. Okay? And put them under your chin and repeat after me. Raise up your chin. Look me in the eye. When our talk begins, look me in the eye. Very good. Raise up your chin. Look me in the eye. When our talk begins, look me in the eye. If you're looking at your hands, staring at your knees, looking all around, you're not looking at me. Raise up your chin. Well, look me in the eye. When our talk begins, well, look me in the eye. If you want to be polite and do what's right, well, give it a try. Look me in the eye. Raise up your chin.
Look me in the eye.
When our talk begins,
look me in the eye. Look at my left eye. Look at my right eye. Look at my eye teeth.
Okay, good job. Give yourself a hand, boys and girls. You did a good job. One more. We got to do liar, liar, pants on fire. Now, there's an alarm that when you're a Christian and you're in sin, there should be an alarm going off in your heart. And even in the midst of this thing called lying, which we justify in such a free, abundant fashion. So here's how the alarm goes off as far as the song. Put your hand up and go ding, 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 ding. You got it? All right. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Here are the actions. You go liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Never tell a lie. Let me finish this. It's a long one. Always tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Can you remember that much? The truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Let's try it. When you're tempted to tell a lie, and your brain says, let her fly.
Before you even start,
this alarm should go off in your heart. Get that alarm's going, ding, 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 ding. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Never tell a lie. Always tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. It's the same everywhere I go. Where's my heart? I'm not sure yet. It may be a little white lie.
It may be a little white lie.
Or even a big old whopper.
Or even a big old whopper.
Before you try to stop her.
Before you try to stop her.
This alarm should go off in your heart.
This alarm should go off.
Last time. Ding, 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 ding. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Never tell a lie. Always tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. Always tell the truth. Give yourself a hand. You did a marvelous job. Marvelous job. Well, Pastor Bob's already prayed, so let's dive into the topic of Sunday school. You know, a lot of folks this time of the year are very consumed. Very concerned about losing weight. Can I have an amen from the crowd? And it seems to last about maybe a week or two, maybe a month, and then we're back just pigging out like we were before we made that commitment, concern, and that commitment. But there's a weight we need to be concerned with more than our weight as such physically. It's waiting upon God. And that's what I'd like to talk about here this morning. Probably the favorite verse that bears the heaviest weight in your mind concerning this topic would be Isaiah chapter 40. So would you turn to that chapter, please? Isaiah chapter 40. This is the grand verse of verse, the promise we love to claim, but sometimes it doesn't come about the way it's supposed to, because I really don't think we understand biblically how to wait upon God. Now, there's a question set forth. Keep turning. I'll read some scriptures you're finding the passage. In verse 18 of chapter 40, it says, "To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him?" Then the answer is listed here in verse 25. It says, "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high." I'm in verse 26, chapter 40. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, doesn't go on vacation, doesn't take coffee breaks." I added that, if some of you wonder what. Okay. It says, "Neither is weary, there's no searching of his understanding." Verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength." In verse 30, it says, "Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall." But boy, what a promise, folks. What a promise to claim as your own, especially as a Christian school teacher. I mean, you're going from sun up to sundown. It seems like there's no stop or no beginning to the day, to what's before you. And that's the way it is for a lot of folks who just, again, seek to be faithful. But you need to buy the promise. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be from start to finish faithful. I want to continue to grow. I want to finish. I want to be strong. And I can't do that in and of this flesh that I'm parked in, and neither can you. So how often are we supposed to be a part of this waiting on God business? Well, write these references down. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25, it says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Psalm 33 and verse 20 tells us, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield." Hosea 12:6 says, "Wait on God," how often, folks? "Continually." Now, when God says continually, guess what he means? Continually. But again, we get so caught up in our own wisdom, our own wherewithal, and really, again, thinking more of ourselves than we ought, we really don't seek God's face and wait on him the way it should be done. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean we sit around and do nothing? If that's the truth, we have a lot of faithful believers today. Can I have an amen from the crowd? Yes. Yeah, that's not the way it's done. See, folks, waiting upon God involves action, but biblically directed and never apart from the directing hand and power of God. Some key words you know, folks, but do we really put them into practice, especially in the matter of waiting upon God? Faith, trust, dependence, hope. But a word I want to park on more specifically is the word abide. I want you to turn next to John chapter 14. Would you do that, please? Turn in the New Testament to the Gospel of John chapter 14. Now, I love this whole section of Scripture. Excuse me, John chapter 15. But this is the vine, the branch, you know, picture and story and representation. The word abide in this particular section of Scripture, it appears 11 times. It's the same word continue in verse 9, the same word remain in verse 11. But again, what does the word abide mean? It means to keep in fellowship with Christ so that his life can work in and through us to produce fruit. And some of you are turning to listen. Let me say it again. Abide means to keep in fellowship with Christ so that his life can work in us and through us to produce fruit. In other words, a good crop of Christian testimony. That will not come unless you, again, understand what it means to wait upon God and choose to be faithful through the power and wherewithal of God. How can I tell, Brother Maynard, whether or not I'm abiding in Christ, maintaining this right fellowship, again, some special fuzzy feeling that overwhelms your mind, heart, and life in Christ? Well, no, but there are evidences. There are some things that will be very obvious, and they are expectations if you are faithful and waiting upon God biblically. I'm going to give you five of them. Don't you love when a preacher does that? He makes it so simple. He gives you a checklist, not just to review your life now, but to do it after you get home, and do it next week, and the next week. And again, remind yourself, am I just thinking I'm faithful, or am I truly faithful and pleasing in God's sight? I'm going to give you one of those checklists this morning. So get your pencil and paper out. Some of these men, I love men when I preach. Men kind of sit back there and going, bring it on, Brother Maynard. Come on. This steel trap of mine, it will not miss a drop or a dribble of the presentation of God's truth. I will so... You're as lazy, and you got holes in your grid just like I do, okay? And you can hardly remember your own name, let alone what's preached. You know, it bothers me greatly when we're so full of ourselves that we don't think we need to take notes. We don't think we need that reminder later on because, well, I have been saved, I'll let you know, 40 years. I have read the Bible longer than most. Yeah, but you still need to be more Christ-like. You still have more to learn. You still need to review and renew and refresh your brain continually, or I guarantee you, you'll become crusty. You'll become very dysfunctional and really not as faithful and fruitful as God would have you to be. Five evidences that you're truly biblically waiting upon God. The first one is this. You will produce fruit. You will produce fruit. Look down at chapter 15 and verse 2 where it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Did you catch that little hint from God? God's not satisfied you're producing fruit. God wants you to produce much fruit. We're the ones satisfied with a little dabble, do you? The old people remember that? Brill cream? Okay. It's not a problem or a product for me. But for those that have hair, it was kind of the styling gel of yesteryear for those 60, grooving, slick back, look like your hair is really greasy days. But you know what? A little dabble do you is not in the work and will of God for the Christian life. Here's the fruit. People say, what do you mean fruit that God's after? Well, let me give you several things under point number one. First of all, if you're waiting upon God, you're seeking to produce fruit that God is looking for, the first thing that will be obvious, unquestionable, you'll show forth a dedicated life. You'll show that Jesus is not merely prominent in your life, he is truly preeminent or first place. You know what, folks? That's easy to make a commitment toward, but that's hard to do on a daily basis. To truly have this statement in mind, heart, and testimony, nothing matters to me more than that which matters unto Jesus. Again, folks, this is not optional. This is a necessity of, again, pleasing, honoring God, and not just bringing forth fruit, but much fruit, a dedicated life. Secondly, there'll be growth in holiness and obedience unto God. And that growth will take place on a daily basis. What do you mean holiness? Well, it's not some beehive hairdo, you know, and some guy with long sleeve white shirts past his knuckles looking like Jerry Lewis with white socks. It's not that, people. It's simply being set apart for God alone and then get into the Bible and find that material, that wonderful training that will help you not only be set apart from God, but find out what you should be set apart from as far as this destructive stuff the devil's trying to put into your life. Again, set apart for God, but taking the necessary aggressive biblical action to be set apart from the garbage of this world that seeks to kill you as far as faithfulness and fruitfulness is concerned. So every day, you're supposed to take another step of maturity, obedience, another representation inwardly and outwardly of this thing called holiness. Set apart for God alone, nothing's more important. But being set apart, again, from the garbage of this world that seeks to hinder you from being faithful unto God. So the first thing, a dedicated life. Secondly, growth in holiness and obedience on a daily basis. And number three, the Christian life will show forth the fruit of the Spirit. The Christian life will show forth the fruit of the Spirit. You know what? If I said, give me an amen if that's a truth or that's an... If it's a truth, give me an amen. You'd all go, oh, amen, hallelujah, brother. We need the fruit of the Spirit. Then I love to ask the question, what does that mean? Where is that found in Scripture? Why, it's in the New Testament somewhere. Wait a minute. If you don't know where it is, more than likely you don't know what it is, and how are you going to set forth that kind of testimony? How is that going to be what you are and what you do in your home, as well as the workplace, the highways and byways? How can you be something God wants you to be unless you understand what it is? Where do we find, talk to me out loud, I know most of you know this, where do we find the listing of the fruit of the Spirit? Talk to me. That's why I lie. Can someone a little more precisely and clearly in verbal presentation, again, where do we find it? Can somebody read that for us, please? Somebody got? Can you find that in your Bible? Guys, let your wife show you where it is. Okay? Where do we find, again, the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5. And someone read this list. Now, again, folks, is it pick and choose? Oh, I like that one. I don't like that one. Don't we do that all the time? Well, I'll work real hard on this because that fits my personality or my persuasion of life. Folks, no wonder we're carnal. No wonder we're not, again, faithfully fulfilling Christian testimony and responsibility because we do the pick and choose thing as far as God's directives are concerned. This is a package deal. I don't care if you're a mom at home all the time with some bratty kids. You still have a response. Every mother's going, "Are you looking at me?" You know, girls, I understand your husband goes off and does his just fun work thing all day long. You're stuck with people who don't understand English, okay? But it's still not a biblical Christ-like thing to scream and rant and rave and yell at your kids. Mm-hmm. It's not representing what they need to see so they can learn what they need to be and they can produce Christ-likeness. What do we hear from the Word of God concerning the fruit of the Spirit? Who's got it? Who's going to read it? Yes, my brother, blue tie brother, and it's not buttoned. You didn't button your collar there, but it's somebody else. I heard the story. See, I'm here to help them present themselves, you know, in a very right way. And he comes in. He kind of looks like a grooving dude, you know, with his button undone. I say, what? You don't have the button. I mean, how can you be an evangelist if you don't button the button, you know? Because he's got the stuff. He's wacko. He's real weird. And he loves himself far too much. So he could be an evangelist, ladies and gentlemen. Write that man right there. I'm not calling you, brother. That's God's business. But the reason he doesn't have his button, it's somebody else's shirt because he didn't do his laundry. Okay, stand up, brother. And you know, there is an answer from a teenager on every situation of questioning whatever. I know that by now. All right, brother, read the list. And again, folks, let this go right into your heart. Let it fill your mind. And again, be under conviction that this is what God expects of you. I don't care if you are from New England. I don't care if you are, you know, kind of a this background or I'm just not a real smiley person. Well, you know what? You're copping out. You're listening to your flesh instead of looking to be the way God would have us to be. No matter what your heritage is, no what your personality package may be filled with, God still says you need to override that through the power of God. And here's what needs to show through your life. Listen to the list. Again, folks, not pick and choose, but the whole package. And this is what God expects of you. And that, you know, that's hard for me because I'm a charge, get it done, bull in a china shop personality. And to have that patience and meekness and sometimes love when I'd rather fling bodies. Are y'all with me on that? I have to constantly wait upon God or I'll start waiting on Mike Maynard. I'll start waiting on my own strengths and weaknesses as such instead of the power and wherewithal of God. Folks, listen, waiting upon God, it hits every part of who and what we are. But this is what God expects from a person who is biblically abiding in Christ, waiting upon Him. So again, the first thing, you'll show forth a dedicated life. Nothing more important than Jesus. Nothing is more important than Jesus. Secondly, growth in holiness and obedience to God. Thirdly, the Christian life will show forth the fruit of the Spirit. And here's a biggie. You will be winning others to Christ. I don't care if you're Calvinistic, you're Arminian, whatever your theological persuasion is. God still commands you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's still your responsibility, whether you're a loudmouth guy like me or you're quiet as quiet can be. You still are called of God to that point and position of faithfulness. Yeah, you expect Brother Bob to do it. Those Moody boys need to get out there. They're teaching those young people. They need to be soul winners. But you're a lazy bum. You're a backslidden buzzard. Is that communicating? Do people understand? I've been talking to teens all week long, so if I offend you, just humor me and go along for the ride. But listen, we get real lazy in this area. And we excuse ourselves, again, because we wait on our personalities. We wait on our excuses of our... Well, I'm a senior citizen now, and we just don't drive at night. Well, then soul win during the day, okay? You know, I get so sick and tired. Now, if you're here today, I hope you're under great conviction because of this statement. I have, in revival meetings, I have these people say, well, Brother Maynard, we won't get to see you the rest of the week. And they could walk or cane or standing straight. They say, well, we just don't drive at night. It's summertime. It doesn't get dark till 10 o'clock. It's amazing how we let our flesh again rip us off. More preaching, more teaching, more ministry opportunity. You know, I don't know if the senior saints know this, but other people drive at night. And you can get a ride and hear the Word of God if you're hungry enough to hear the Word of God and be faithful to God's will. It all depends on whether you're waiting on your Social Security, you're waiting on your arthritis, or you're truly waiting upon Christ. See, if you're truly focused on Christ, abiding in Him, seeking to please and honor His name, bring forth fruit and much fruit, guess what? You will be a soul winner. And you're nowhere close. Guess what? You've unplugged yourself from thinking and responding biblically. Is that an ouch, boys and girls? Yes, it is. And it should be if you're choosing to be unfaithful. Number five is this, and I parked on this pretty hard with the kids this week. The fruit of praise will be continually on your lips. Now, there are grumps in every church. Should we point this morning? No, we better not, okay? There are people that go around look like their dog just got shot. Do you know people like that? Or their license plate just fell off their 89 Chevy Blazer, okay? Or some people lose their glasses and they use that as an excuse not to read their Bible anymore. You know what, folks? Listen, it's amazing, again, how this flesh is so unbelievably stinking, rotten, weak. But folks, God's not. And I told the kids this, and listen to me carefully. The continual word again is used as far as this praise business. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, praise God how often, folks? Continually. And when God says continually, again, He means continually. Here's the verse. We know it, but we sure don't show it. It says, great is our God and what? Greatly to be praised. How much? Every day. You know what Psalm says? All the day long.
Oh, the gas prices, you know, the political scene. Oh, it's cold out there.
You know, what are you doing? You're waiting on the environment. You're waiting on the gas prices. You're waiting upon your own little grumbly mindset instead of, again, getting your eyes off of you, turning your eyes upon Jesus and biblically waiting on Him. I know what's going to happen because it happens in my life. When you finally get your focus off of you and turn your eyes upon Jesus, you can't help but praise Him. When you see a true picture of the true God, again, try to shut me up. Great is God! See, you don't know that because you're listening to Rush Limbaugh instead of the Thus Saith the Lord. You're so caught up in all the wisdom of the world, which is nothing in comparison to the wisdom of our God. Oh, Dr. Phil, can you help me? You know, how stupid are we, people, to again wait upon mere man? You know what irritates me about Dr. Phil? Not that he makes zillions of dollars. You know, that's nothing. The thing that irritates me, he constantly uses biblical principles all the time, but he takes the credit himself. You know what? To God be the glory. Great thing. God fixes what's broken. He's the source of help and hope, folks. But again, you know what? We need to remember that ourselves and understand this is the treasure chest of wisdom and knowledge. Enrich our lives so we can in turn enrich the lives of others. So the first thing that's going to happen, I've got to hurry because I'm only halfway through and I've only got 15 minutes. The thing that happens here, if you're waiting upon God, you will produce fruit. The second thing, even in verse 2 said, there'll be a process called pruning. And that's the part we don't like. A process called pruning. God uses what we don't like as far as pruning. You know what God uses? People and problems, right? And sometimes the people are the problem. You know, you got a painful person in your church who is just, an irritant. You've got them in the school. They're everywhere. They're at work. God says, use that problem as an opportunity for me to intervene on your behalf. Don't become a nervous wreck, a basket case, fall apart, throw in your testimony, you know, to the dogs. No, let God intervene. Let God mold and make you through that situation that seems so unbearable. But you know what you need to do and you're not doing it. Cast your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you. You know, don't bear something that's not yours to bear. Let it teach you and mold you and make you like God's trying to teach you, mold and make you. You know, when I was pastoring, it was probably the most... Can you imagine me being a pastor? Wouldn't that scare you to death? That's why I'm an evangelist, folks, from the head to toe. I know that. That's my gift. That's my personality. It's just this is what I need to be doing. But, you know, I pastored, and it was a very helpful, needful thing to understand what goes on mechanically and emotionally in a local church. I wouldn't want to trade it for anything in the world. But you know what? I had some people just didn't like me a whole bunch. It was the most thankless job I've ever been a part of, and I've done a lot of things. But I've never felt like a doormat like I did as a pastor. I just tried to love the people. I thought I was so naive as a young pastor. If I just love them and I just minister their needs, they're going to like me and they're going to love me. It didn't work. Okay. It just didn't work. Because you know what? I had this thing going on preaching against sin. And you know what? Those people didn't like that. And they would go, now this is true, they would go through my mail because they wanted to catch me and I'd throw away my trash. They'd go through my trash to see what I was and what I was doing and find the secrets of the pastor's life. They'd get all upset because I'd go shake hand with them and I wouldn't shake hand with them. Oh, you know what happened one time? I lost a packing list to some Sunday school material. They wanted to run me out of the church. Isn't it amazing how carnal? The nastiest people I've ever been with in my life are carnal Christians. I'd rather give me a drunk, a druggie, a murderer. Don't let me deal with God, please, with a carnal Christian. Because they know better and they throw God aside. But you know what? God, even in the midst of that kind of junk, will give you the grace sufficient to love them unconditionally. It took a lot of prayer, a lot of counsel, a lot of thumping up the side of my old stubborn head. But I learned to wait upon God, and then I didn't react. I responded biblically. And you can do the same thing. When I had this house in Indianapolis years ago, we had this very poorly landscaped house and property. There was only really one bush that did anything. I called it my Charlie Brown Christmas tree bush. You know, Charlie had one little dangling whatever. And I told my wife, I said, this puppy's going to do or die. So I took that house. I had these big, huge, you know, cut them down shears. And I cut that thing down as short as a hair on my head, folks. I did. I just cut it way down. And I said, I don't care if it lives or dies. This thing is worthless the way it is. You know what happened? When I cut away the hindrances of growth, this thing started growing and producing foliage like you could never. I mean, I had to trim this. I was a little bitter. I had to trim it all the time now, you know. But what allowed it to bring what it was supposed to bring? Pruning. Taking away the hindrances, the excesses that kept it from producing what it was supposed to. That's what God's doing through people and problems in your life. Don't react carnally. No, continually abide in Christ and wait upon Him. I got a couple more. Prayers will be answered. Look down with me at verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will do, and it shall be done unto you. Woohoo! Boy, we like that one. Come on, God. Mama needs a new pair of shoes. Come on. You know, God, we need a new car. And that's the way we like that part. Pruning, bad. Prayer, good. Give me. No, look at all the prayerful procedure here. He says, look at it, if ye abide in me. What does that mean? I'm looking to see what God thinks. I'm concerned about what God wants. I am waiting for God to bring forth what's His best, which is His will. He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. What governs your prayer life? Your study of the Word of God. Your knowledge on how this Christian stuff works to let God again do what God promises He will do. But see, we want genie in the lamp, don't we? Come on, God. Come on, God. Yeah, God, you don't love me, God, because you don't give me what I want. That's just not a teenage mindset. That's what a lot of the adults do. Isn't God always faithful? Doesn't God promise He'll supply all our need according to the riches in Christ Jesus? See, you're not getting your wanter filled. So therefore, you think God's a bad God. No, you're just not a real good praying person. You're not that, okay? And you got to understand, here's how it works. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So produce fruit, a process called pruning, verse 2. Then prayers will be answered, verse 7. And here's another one. You'll experience a deepening love for Christ and for others. It bothers me greatly when I hear people say, well, I just don't like people. It's hard to be a good minister of God if you don't like people. There's a problem. You're not waiting upon the mind and heart of God. Because Jesus loves us people. He loved us enough to die for us. He loves us enough to live for us. And that's the kind of response we're to have toward others, even if we don't like them. That's Christ-likeness. Again, you're waiting on your own persuasion, your own preferences, your own program of life, instead of waiting upon God biblically. Let me give you several verses. Look at verse 9, first of all. It says, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Again, here's a continue thing. Continue ye in my love. Verse 12. This is my commandment. Boys and girls, friends and neighbors, look up here. If God says, this is my commandment, what does that mean? I want you to do this. This is again, not optional. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. How, Brother Maynard? God says, as I have loved you. You remember the look? This is my commandment, that ye love one another. You know, they didn't make that up. It's right here. God says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Unconditional, sacrificial, giving, 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 far beyond what the flesh is capable of giving. That's what God's after, and it'll never happen unless you choose to biblically wait upon God, you seek to abide in Christ continually. And let me go to the last one here. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, 14, though, says, ye are my friend. That should just put a smile on your face. God's my friend. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. But He's my friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend like no other person can be on the face of the earth. But you ignore your best friend. You never talk to him. You never listen to him. As you never read your Bible. What are you doing? You're waiting upon you instead of waiting upon God. The last point in all this, you'll experience joy. You'll experience joy. Verse 11, look at it. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be a smidgen. Smidgen? Wonderful life, okay? You know, it's all that sort of stuff. But you know what, folks? It's not supposed to be a little bit. It's supposed to be a lot of bit. But again, you make an excuse of no joy because I don't feel good. I don't like this church. Nerdy pastor. You stupid people. Well, you know, I'm going to let you know. Could it possibly... Now, this may not be it, but this could be possible. The problem could be you. Huh? You think that's possible? It's not that buzzard of a husband you're stuck with, and your young youth, you know, on your all your choosing. I'm just kidding. It's not, you know, you cannot allow your flesh to reason your way out of faithfulness. And folks, we do that all the time, don't we? Nod your head. We reason our way out of faithfulness based on circumstances, how I feel, what I think, what I want. Guess what you're doing? You're most definitely not abiding in Christ or waiting upon Him. You're doing your own thing, and it's far from faithfulness unto our God. Just a couple of minutes here. Let's go back to... I've got another passage, but I better stop here. Go back to with me to Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll close out with that. Isaiah chapter 40. And again, circle, highlight. Don't just put it on a plaque in your office. Don't just laminate this and, you know, hang it on your... No. This needs to be who and what you are. But there's something very important concerning this directive again. In verse 31 it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What does the word renew mean? What's it mean? It means change. God says change that needs to take place as you stop relying on the limited power of man and start relying on the limitless power of God. No wonder you're unfaithful. No wonder you've thrown in the towel. No wonder you're quitting on what God has deemed to be His will for your life, because you're trying to do this Christian stuff in your own strength, and it's impossible. A verse I've quoted, a verse we bypassed even in chapter 15 and verse 5. Jesus says, apart from me, ye can do how much? Maybe that's the reason you're doing nothing. Because you're still plugged into you, a limited power source, instead of being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Didn't Paul say it with the thorn in the flesh stuff going on? He says, when I am what? Weak, then I am what? Strong. Because he did this, folks. He went, he unplugged from the flesh And he plugged himself into the power of Almighty God. Isn't that pretty good? You'll never forget that. You won't, will you? That's right. And I do those things not just with kids. I do those with adults because you need to remind yourself, I will be unfaithful unless I rely on the power and wherewithal of God and I claim the promise of God's working. I can do all things through Christ. I can be faithful. I don't have to quit. I don't have to be another testimony of losing. I can win and be faithful, but a person that's a winner is a person who lives by faith. Faith that comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You need to change the way you think. You're waiting and abiding on anything and everything, but waiting upon God. God still means it, folks, when He says, wait on Me. What's that word again? Continually. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him. Same truths, same teaching, but we again think too much of ourselves and we get ourselves in such messes, such deep holes that God wants to bring us out of, place us back on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and use us not to just produce a little bit, but a whole bunch for His honor and His glory. What's the key, folks? The key is learning what this waiting business is all about and just choose to wait on God continually. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, we're going to have, you know, an invitation during the morning service, but, you know, we've got a minute or two here just to let God bring forth a work in our hearts, even in Sunday school. Some of you young people, you're still waiting upon you, what you feel, what you think. You're in sin. God wants to fix that. Would you choose to turn your eyes off of yourself and really commit in your heart and life to wait on God? Abide in Christ biblically. I gave you the evidences very clearly set forth in Scripture. That needs to be set forth even through your life. Heavenly Father, help us now, Lord, as we have this time of just looking our lives over in Christ to see whether or not we're doing our thing or doing Yours. Whether or not we're with the procedure and program of faithfulness. And God, if we're not there, we're not doing that. God, help us to confess it for what it is. It's sin. And God, help us to continually abide in Christ, wait upon You. Lord, I have a battle with that. I like to run and gun and go get it done. And Lord, so many times I'm running ahead of You instead of, again, God, seeking Your face and saying, God, where do You want me to go next? What would You have me to be faithful to? Then I come up short and empty when I do it my way as far as the fruit, God, You want to produce through my life. God, I pray these folks will do some adjustments, Lord, some searching of the heart and ministry, and see, God, am I doing it Your way or my way? God, help us to commit or recommit to simply, biblically, wait upon God. We thank You and praise You for this Sunday school time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.